If you want to go ahead and open a Bible to Acts chapter 3, we're going to be looking at this incredibly famous and powerful story of Peter and John healing a man. But what we're going to see is the crowd's reaction. So Peter and John heal a man who has been a lame beggar for years and years and years, miraculously heal him. He has perfect health. And then what we see is that the crowds gather around to see this. And they are filled with astonishment and wonder, naturally, because the man that they've known to be lame for many, many years now has perfect health. And so they rush after Peter and John to find out, how did they do it? And what we're going to see is that Peter gives a very simple answer, an answer that is very common to us. It's sometimes called the Sunday school answer. Peter says, it's Jesus. Peter says, I didn't do it through my own power. I didn't do it through my own piety. I didn't do it through my own good religious behavior. This man was healed in the name of Jesus. And the crowd doesn't like that simple answer. We could tell the crowd doesn't like that simple answer because Peter has to keep talking to them about Jesus and what he has done for them. And like the crowd, we so often, because of our sin, because of our pride, because of our idolatry, reject the simple answer that it was Jesus. We want to explain things away. We want to look at people's marriages. We want to look at how they're raising their kids. We want to look at how things are going in their lives. We want to look at how their families love each other better than ours. We want to look at how their relationships have been healed. And we want to find an answer that is anything but Jesus. We have this tendency, like the crowd, because of our sin and pride, to make the foundation of our faith and the center of our lives everything but Jesus, because Jesus is too simple of an answer. When I was in college, I worked at a Christian bookstore. Mostly, I got the job because back then you had to pay for every single text message, and so I wanted a job to help pay for all of my texting. And so I worked at this Christian bookstore because I was a pre-seminary student, and I was like, well, this will fit. This will go well. And I remember one time this customer came in, and she was, like every human being, going through a hard time, going through some difficulties, and was searching for some guidance and wisdom. And so she came in, and she was asking for help, looking for a book. And she told me, I'm going through a difficult time. I'm looking for something to give me guidance. I want to hear God speak to me. And so naturally, being a pre-seminary student, I take over to the giant section called the Bible section. I say, he usually does it here. And her response to me was, well, I've tried that before. I need something that's real and practical. And it kind of surprised me and caught me off guard, but then I realized we live like that so often as human beings. We behave like the crowd in Acts chapter 3, that the simple answer of Jesus, we say, doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't fit. It's not what I'm looking for. There's got to be more. It's got to be a little bit bigger. But what we need to realize, what we're going to see in this story, is that Jesus is that answer. Even if we sometimes want to roll our eyes and say, well, you know, we're in church or we're in Sunday school, so of course Jesus is the answer. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the answer in everyday life. And so Peter speaks to the crowd, and he tells them again how this man was healed. And verse 16 says, by faith in his name, that is, by faith in Jesus' name, his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. Peter's saying, no, that simple answer that you kind of want to roll your eyes at, that simple answer that you think just isn't good enough because there's got to be more, it's got to be more complicated, and I got to do a little extra work for it, is the answer that you're looking for. That the power of faith, that the power in our lives that we need is found in the name of Jesus. And we as a church, we want to be a church that is centered on Jesus, that all the things that we say and do is found in Jesus and centered on the name of Jesus, that all the things that we say and do as Christians is centered on the name of Jesus. And this is why, as a church, we pray. This is why Pastor Danny and I pray for each service before it ever happens. This is why Pastor Danny and I, we pray in the middle of the service. It's called the prayers of the church. This is why in your bulletin, you have a handout with a list of names on it. It's not meant for the recycling bin. It's meant for you to take home, because that list is brothers and sisters in Christ here within our church and serving as missionaries abroad and everything in between, that they are people who are asking for our prayers. And so we put that list together and give it to you in worship so you will take it home, because as a church, we believe in the power of the name of Jesus, that He will answer prayers, that He will provide physical healing, that He will provide emotional and mental healing, that He will provide healing for our relationships that have been broken and are hurting. This is why after each service, either Pastor Danny or myself will be up near the baptismal font offering prayers for whoever needs them. I've prayed for people who are worried about test results. We've prayed for people that have loved ones who are dying of cancer. We've prayed for people who are looking for jobs. We have prayed for people that have relationships that are broken and are hurting, and they're wishing that their loved ones would return, that their friendships would be healed. I've even prayed for a little toddler who's come up because his toy broke and he was sad about it. We'll pray for everyone and everything because we believe the Word of God. We believe that there is power in the name of Jesus, that He has the power to heal you, that He has the power to fix your relationships. He has the power to give you peace. Peter goes on when he speaks about what the name of Jesus does for us. And he says in verse 19, therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. Peter is inviting the crowd to put their trust in Jesus and not themselves. Now he uses this word that most people don't like. It's the word repent. And the reason we don't like it is because when we repent, we have to admit that we were wrong. And I've never met a person that likes admitting they're wrong. Right, you can know 100% down deep in your soul that you are wrong, that the person telling you are wrong is right, and yet you will argue and defend yourself till your dying breath. Because we hate, as people, to admit that we're wrong. Even when we know it, we want to find a way to defend ourselves, to find a way to prove ourselves right. We want to point out their faults and say, no, actually, here's why I'm right and how you're wrong. We want to turn it around on them. We hate to admit we're wrong. But have you ever noticed it's exhausting always having to be right? It wears out your relationships, wears out your friendships, wears you out. It's an exhausting burden to always have to be right, to always have to defend ourselves. Repentance is an invitation from God to say, you can stop defending yourself. You can stop trusting in yourself to always be right. And instead, you can entrust yourself to my grace and forgiveness. Because the good news is that when we repent, when we turn from ourselves, when we turn to Jesus, our sins are wiped out. not just, well, they're sort of justified and explained away. They're not just, well, we'll forget about it for now. No, when you repent and you put your trust in Jesus and what he has done for you at the cross, your sins are wiped out forever. They're never held against you again by God. And this is why we as a church practice baptism. It's a literal wiping away or washing away of your sins, that you get connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus, that you receive faith and your sins are completely forgiven. This is why we practice communion here. Communion is this awesome exchange where you come up to the altar and you bring all of your brokenness, all of your hurts, all of your sins, all of the things that you said and did wrong this week. You give them to Jesus, and in return, he gives you himself. He gives you his grace and forgiveness and mercy. This is why we practice confession and absolution every week here. Because it's this great moment where we all go, yes, I have brokenness. I have imperfections. I am not always right. And Jesus gives us his grace and forgiveness and mercy each and every time. And this is good news. And I know there are times when you show up to worship and you're just hoping, maybe this will be the week where confession isn't in the bulletin because I'm tired of admitting that I'm wrong. But see, when we do repent, when we do turn from trusting in ourselves to always be right and always defending ourselves, we find rest for our souls because we are forgiven by trusting in Jesus. And in verse 20, as Peter continues to talk about what Jesus does for us, it says that turn to Jesus, repent, and turn back to him so that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And I love this word refreshing, this idea that this is something that Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to refresh your soul. He wants to give you rest when you're weary and worn out. The Greek word is anipsychios, and it literally means a space to breathe. That this is something that Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to give you space to breathe. And how much do you and I need that in our everyday lives? Does anybody else ever get completely exhausted through the workday or through the week, and you're just waiting to be able to take a nap, waiting to be able to go to bed, and then you find yourself having your head hit the pillow, and all of a sudden, every burden, every weary thought, every stress and anxiety in your life comes flooding into your brain. You can no longer sleep. And the Word of God says, see, Jesus, in those moments, wants to give you rest. Jesus wants to give you space to breathe. The only other time that this word is used in all of Scripture is when Pharaoh, it says, finds respite from the 10 plagues. That all this chaos, all this hurt, all this brokenness is happening around Pharaoh, and when the plagues cease, he has a respite from them. He has a space to breathe. See, you and I have brokenness and hurts and wounds in our lives. We can also just get exhausted from trying to do good, that we don't know what the next step to take is. We're trying to help people and we're getting exhausted from doing it. And so whether it's good or bad, there are times in our lives where we just feel completely overwhelmed. And we need a moment to catch our breath. And the Word of God says, Jesus wants to give you that space to breathe. Right? Sometimes life feels like you're running on a treadmill, just going, 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 and you can't, for the life of you, catch your breath. And Jesus is saying, I want to give you a space to breathe. I'm going to give you moments in the midst of the overwhelming chaos in your life to breathe and rest. And dear friends, this is why worship is so important. Worship is not important because of the numbers. Worship is not important because of what we bring to it. Worship is not important because it's the right thing to do. Worship is so important for our faith and for our souls because it is a place where we get rest from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I've never met a person who does not love this Bible verse from Jesus. And one of the ways we come to Jesus with our weariness, with our burdens, in order to get rest, in order to have a moment to catch our breath, is in worship. See, worship doesn't depend on you. Worship is not about what you bring to it, right? It's not about how good of a confession you made this week. It's not about how focused you were during the prayers. It's not about you taking the chance to actually open your mouth during one of the songs this week. Worship is about what Jesus gives to you. In 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, "Casting all your cares on him because he cares about you." See, this is what we bring to worship. We bring our weariness, we bring our burdens, our anxieties, our cares, all the things that are overwhelming us. And we give them to Jesus, and he gives us grace and mercy and rest. This is also why scripture reading is so important. This is why Pastor Danny and I do whatever it takes to get you to be in God's word on a regular basis. Because in John chapter 5, Jesus says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think that you have eternal life in them. Yet they testify about me." Jesus is saying, this whole thing that we call the Bible is about him. And so when he invites you to come to him with your weariness and your burdens and your cares and your anxieties, he's saying, "Come to me in my word and I will give you rest. I will give you space to breathe." The second half of verse 20 is something I don't want you to miss. Peter continues and he says, "And that he, that is God, may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah." Jesus is a gift that God wants to give to you. All of the healing, all of the forgiveness, all of the rest, all of the moments of catching our breath in life, that Jesus has the power to give to us, is a gift God wants for you in your life. Jesus is a gift from God to you. And my hope and prayer is that you would hear the words that Peter spoke to the crowd, that you would turn back and turn to Jesus and trust in him so that you can receive his gifts of healing and forgiveness and rest in your life. Let's pray.